When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Derek and Eric here. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. So the big news of the day is Will Smith showed up. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of him. He's popped up here and there in like sort of footage of him walking around places, but an actual sit-down interview. He also gave his own apology where he was sitting in front of a camera, but now he's in a conversation. He was on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, who... Trevor Noah has carved out this sort of great role where he's a really good interviewer because he has this sort of like sensitive sort of persona, but he's also very intellectual and he delves into issues. So I thought this was a great way to come out. It doesn't feel as sort of cheesy as going on the Today Show or Oprah or something.
And Trevor and Will Smith are friends.
And they're friends.
They are friends in real life. So this is a good, you know, Will's got a movie to promote.
That's right.
His movie Emancipation's coming out. So obviously you're not going to be able to talk about your new movie without first talking about the Oscars.
That's right. Or the reverse was actually, the reverse. He gave a little bit of a promo for Emancipation, what that movie meant to him and how it's important. We'll get back into that a little bit. But I want you to hear the sort of segment where Trevor Noah, you know, waltzes into the conversation about the slap. So listen here.
At the end of the day, I lost it, you know. And I guess what I would say, you just never know what somebody's going through. And I was going through something that night, you know, and, you know, and it's like I understood the idea where they say hurt people.
Yeah. It felt like this was Will Smith for the first time going, OK, is this how you want me to respond or not?
Yeah. It was a lot of things. It was the little boy that watched his father beat up his mother. You know, all of that just bubbled up in that moment. That's not who I want to be.
So I found this fascinating because Will Smith is sort of an expert at presenting himself. He wasn't ambushed. I'm sure this was like sort of he knew that this topic would come up. He's in a friendly setting with Trevor Noah.
That's why Trevor Noah was the first big interview he's done since then.
But you can feel the tightrope of it. You can feel the, you know, Will Smith is walking this line of he doesn't want to sort of have this conversation constantly be the narrative surrounding Will Smith, who is one of the biggest movie stars in the world and has always had such a positive persona and a larger than life sort of movie star essence to him. But he also can't diminish the importance of it. He can't be seen as being dismissive of that and let's move on and turn the page. So he has to walk this. I'll talk about it, but I need to process it and tell people that I've changed, but I also don't want to talk about it that much. You can tell he wants to move on, but he can't yet.
Well, not until he addresses it. And I think he's done it well. This comes down to, you know, as people hearing this, how cynical are you?
Yes.
Because Will Smith is a
It's a cynicism test. You're 100%
right. He's very measured. He always has been. That was partly why I think the slap was so shocking, because Will Smith was always the most positive, you know, unflappable, put-together celebrity in the world.
Yes.
And then we saw that crack.
Yeah, he rarely broke. I remember one instance where, remember when he slapped the guy who sprayed him with water?
Sure.
There were so few instances that you would
different.
Remember them. Very different.
Yeah.
Very different. But he was unflappable. And he
you
was
never
just
saw
always
him lose his cool.
Yes, just charisma, just beaming thousand-watt smile, and that was Will Smith to us.
And so that's why I think a lot of people were kind of shocked by, like, what, did Will Smith just do that?
Yes.
And now I think that he sort of wins here because I think this humanizes him.
I do too.
Because I do, again, you can be very cynical and say this is just him trying to, you know, look like a good guy again.
Right. And he's such a good actor, you could say, and so forth. But at some point, cynicism has to give way.
Yeah, for all of his success and his money and his fame, he's still a human. And I think maybe that's on us that you kind of lose sight of that. He wasn't Will Smith the person. He was Will Smith the persona.
Yes.
And he, you know, he curated that. So that was him projecting it. But by coming on here and say he's right, you never know what somebody else is going through.
Yeah, yeah,
and even at the Oscars where you're winning, and it can still be a bad night for you.
Let me ask you this: so Trevor Noah at some point during this conversation also says, you know, some people process this as oh my gosh, we got to see the real Will Smith for the first time. And he's been this monster lying in wait his entire life behind this facade of positivity. And Trevor Noah flips that. He says, look, I'm friends with this guy. And I thought it was very clever to sit with someone who knows you outside of your celebrity persona. And Trevor Noah and he are friends, and I'll take them at their word. He says he's also friends with Chris Rock, by the way.
Yeah.
So he sort of balances that. But Trevor Noah says, I think you saw the opposite. I think you saw a person in a moment not being themselves. And the person we've watched for 30 years with this presence couldn't have been faking it that long. That is Will Smith. And this was a moment that was a bad moment that all humans have. They have like moments where they get angry. And you know, I was one of the, you know, I'll be honest, when I saw him slap Chris Rock, I thought I saw the real Will Smith. And I'm actually convinced of this. I thought when I saw that, I was like, you know, this is a coddled celebrity who's never been told
no. Do you still think that?
I do. I think there are elements of that. I don't think this was entirely an aberration. And I think Trevor Noah buys into the idea that this is a totally, you know, let's dismiss this because this was a guy going through something in a moment. I think it's also part of his personality, but he's complex.
Well, I don't think they're just saying that it was just, you know, everything was just all like peaches and happiness up until that exact moment. That, and Will Smith says it was bottled rage.
Yes.
It was, it
he
was
uses
somebody,
that term, bottled rage.
He knows he has a temper. I mean, even, it's sort of jokey, but even like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the whole premise of that show was built on him getting into a fight and losing his cool in a moment. That's what that whole, the whole public identity of the Fresh Prince is built on, that moment of rage.
Yes.
And I think he is someone who genuinely tries to be a positive person.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't think he was the nice guy just because he thought he'd make a lot of money doing that. I think that is not just who he is, but who he wants to be.
Yes.
And sometimes he's not that. Nobody is that all the time.
Yeah.
And I think it is believable that he had tried to, you know, I'm smiling through it all, I'm Will Smith. He took a lot of crap. People made fun of him, took shots at him.
Oh, sure.
For as successful as he was also, you know, he was the soft rapper. It was easy to make fun of him.
For sure.
And I'm sure that hurt him.
Yeah, there's an element of Will Smith when I think about him that is unknowable, because he seems to me, and follow me here, like a lump of clay. He's been famous for so long, and he's always been sort of pursuing roles, and he gets kind of lost in them. Like, I don't know, I'm not talking about method acting, but when he was doing King Richard, he would talk endlessly on the promotional circuit about the importance of family, because that role for him to play, you know, Richard Williams, he was like, I'm the protector. And when Richard Williams, he even said it in his Oscar speech, and everyone saw, oh, he's excusing his behavior as protecting his family. I don't think he's excusing it. I think he really internalizes these messages about the roles he's playing, and then they really impact his life. And he says that. He says the roles you play sort of change you. And he says it about Emancipation, which is the movie he's promoting now, which is about triumph of the human spirit and, you know, redirecting love towards evil and things like that. So he's in this very positive frame of mind. And I wonder if he just sort of ebbs and flows between these based on, you know, it seems overly reductive and simplistic to say he's just playing the characters. Whatever movie he's just in is who he's embodying. But he's a lot about love now, and he's a lot about turning the page. And it's because, in part, he's playing a guy who's all about love and, like, got whipped on the back 100 times.
And that's maybe why we think of Will Smith, like, we all feel like we kind of know him a bit. Because all the roles he's played, and he's played some very different characters, but they all kind of feel like some version of Will Smith.
Yes.
You know, like they're like little bits of his personality, maybe, like the Fresh Prince. Okay, probably that's who Will Smith is.
Yes.
The cool guy from Bad Boys, I think that's who Will Smith is.
Yeah.
And Ali, I can kind of see some of that. And, you know, that determined fighter, like, he kind of is all these things.
And only you and I will probably remember this movie, but remember the big movie he broke out onto the scene with, 6 Degrees of Separation?
Oh, yeah.
What was he in that? He was a fraud. The whole movie. No, honestly, and you know I'm obsessed with this. I don't think Will Smith is a fraud, but he's played that role, and he was incredible in that movie. He was a young, star where he was sort of a chameleon.
Well, about being what people want you to be.
Yes.
And I think there is a big part of him. I think he genuinely very much does care what people think of him.
I agree. He's a people pleaser
at
his core, and that's why he's so good at it.
And so he always said, you know, when he did his first apology, that one of his biggest fears was disappointing people.
Yeah.
And that's why the Oscars hurt him so much, because he's like, I disappointed everybody. And
it's wild.
I guess that's, you know, you can be as cynical as you want. Will Smith, to me, I don't know him at all.
Sure.
But then, you know, it's all just based on our opinions of it. That's what he cares about here.
Yeah.
He seems like a genuinely pretty good guy to me. And I think he does care. And he had a moment.
Yeah.
Was it unforgivable?
Yeah, you know, I think
it's
pretty complicated. At some point, and we can end it here, Trevor Noah says he was put in this list with other problematic actors, and Trevor Noah, to his credit, was like, that's kind of unfair. You lumped him in with guys who sort of rape kids. You know,
he slapped
Chris Rock at the Oscars. It was horrendous.
He lost his cool.
And he lost his cool. But let's keep some of this in perspective, and I thought that was a nice leveling way of saying, like, you know, he's on his apology tour and he needs to be, and it is important to sort of address these things, but let's also, you know, add a little perspective. So
he's human. He's
I
human.
Thought it was good, and I bought it. I tabled my cynicism, and you know I'm one of
You're
the most
very
cynical people out there, and I actually was on board.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, and Walmart, and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. So download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.
So let's move on with someone I am not on board with.
Yeah.
Kanye West. Tell me what happened yesterday on the Tim Pool podcast.
He is still on his tour here. He was on the Tim Pool podcast, and you know, Kanye doesn't arrive alone anymore. He's got his
The entourage
crew
of deplorables.
Yeah. Nick Yiannopoulos and Milo Yiannopoulos and Nick Fuentes.
Yes.
I don't even want to say their names. Very right wing. Nick Fuentes, very like white supremacist.
Trying to emerge as a national figure. I mean, Nick Fuentes was a nobody, but he's now attached himself to someone who is hugely popular, and it's gross to see him sort of enter mainstream conversation.
So if you're Tim Pool and you book Kanye, you're gonna get them also. So Kanye wound up walking out of this interview when he got even the, I didn't want to say pushback, the tiniest little bit of not going with his narrative about Jews. So this is what happened between Kanye and Tim Pool.
As I'm getting hosed down every day by the press and financially, I'm just standing there. And when I found out that they tried to put me in jail, it was like a dog was biting my arm. And I almost shed a tear, almost. But I still walked in stride through it.
Yeah. I think they've been extremely unfair to you.
Who is they though? We can't say they is.
Corporate
can we?
Press. I'm not using I don't use the word as the way I guess you guys use. I'm talking.
It is
about
them though, isn't it? I mean, because
no.
because when you think about it, consider it. In 2018.
What do you mean it's not?
What do I mean? Like okay. So how about? Are you leaving?
Are you afraid of the press?
He's gone.
So if you disagree with Kanye in the slightest way, even if you ask him to clarify, are Jews destroying you and ruining the world, he will just walk out.
This is the most telling, problematic part of the Kanye West persona to me. It's that all of this has happened to him, and rather than an ounce of self-reflection, the media is attacking him. It's not questioning him, it's attacking him. And when he says, he takes it as a point of pride that while under assault by the media, which he of course deems to be unfair, he walks in stride, defiant, impervious to.
With his money, he's still standing.
That's right. And it's sort of the problem with Kanye is that shell that he's built around himself is impervious to criticism, right? I mean, you can see this guy was as delicate as you can be about the views that Kanye West has expressed, and still he said, no, I've been hosed down enough. I'm ready to walk past this and take, you know, Nick Fuentes in this arm and Milo Yiannopoulos in this arm, and we're going to sort of soldier our way through the storm of misinformation. They perceive everyone
they are heroes
as sheep
to them,
you know, to hear
to themselves.
Exactly. And they see the press as part of this cabal. And how do you break that? I guess I'm watching this and he's retreating to other awful people who share his despicable views rather than just like, hey, look in the mirror and maybe think about why the entire world is against you except for these three assholes.
Well, that's,
I just find that odd.
And that
sorry
is,
for my language, but it's
but
crazy.
But that is
to me.
such the narcissist thing. Instead, when everybody is fleeing from him, and not just businesses, but like lots of personal connections. I mean, think 10 years ago, we had Kim. He was still friends with Jay and Beyonce and John Legend, and like all these people have abandoned him. And not just because, you know, it's politically bad for them to be seen with him. I think they just disagree with him. They're like, this is gross and I want no part of this. We're not friends anymore.
Right. It's so, not a cabal. It's just your views are disgusting.
And instead of, you know, that's Kanye's way of doing things. Instead of being like, maybe I'm wrong, when he loses all his friends, he will just become friends with people who tell him he's right.
Yes.
And now we see that's who he's hanging out with.
It's almost more understandable to me that if you're in the 1940s in Germany, that you could if you're Hitler, you could convince yourself that your views are right because you control the country and the country is at rallies.
Yeah.
Like, Donald Trump is more understandable as a person to me because he does command a large segment of the population in a way.
But
and
Kanye controls
his
reality. But everything in Kanye's world is run and dictated by Kanye.
It's wild.
Yeah.
And he's just confirmation bias on display, right? I mean,
yeah.
Kanye's views are not his own. One, they're not new. We've discussed this. He didn't discover the Jewish cabal
Jews
knew about.
Jews in Hollywood is not something he made up.
Correct. Like, he found these gross views. They resonated with him for whatever reason, because maybe he felt he was slighted in business and so forth. And he built a worldview around them, and then he found other people who had also discovered the same stupid views that have been, you know...
And are trying to become famous and make money off of it.
And are trying... Exactly. All these people are aligned. He doesn't see that, though.
No.
Like, the Trumps and the Kanyes of this world don't see the flattery for what it is, which is, oh my gosh, Nick Fuentes gets to hang out with Kanye West. To Nick Fuentes, this
They're
is
being
a huge
used.
Come up. Yeah, he doesn't... But he doesn't sense it, I don't think. I've seen pictures of them, and Nick Fuentes sitting on Kanye West's private jet. Nick Fuentes doesn't have access to private jets. He's a marginalized, nobody,
white supremacist.
Arch white supremacist who used to have no seat at any reasonable table and still doesn't. But now a guy who had $1 billion and I'm sure still has hundreds of millions of dollars takes him on his private jet. And, you know, they get into this echo chamber. It's a literal echo chamber when you're sitting on that private jet and you know what they're talking about and it's gross. And I just don't see a way out of it. When I see him storm out of a podcast from even a softball kind of like delicate tiptoeing around the issue.
To Tim Pool's credit, I guess, at the end after Kanye had left, he's like, when I say they, I mean, are you talking about the people you think have slighted you in business, or do you mean they, like, you literally mean an entire
He's
group
gently
of people?
Redirecting. Yeah.
And when Kanye's like, oh, you don't agree with me that Jews are bad, I'm walking out.
Right. And I think you hear Nick. I think it's Nick who says, well, let's call it for what it is.
Yeah.
And like, why can't we say what they is? And it's like, it's not because you're right, bro. You know what I mean? Like, there's an arrogance with those
by
views.
By that
like,
logic, you know, that like, oh, well, it's all the Jews. Well, then who else is canceled Kanye? White men. So
right.
Nick, they're part of the problem then, right? All white men are canceling Kanye. So why is Kanye hanging out with him? I mean, that's the fallacy of that logic.
Oh, I mean, it's so rife with fallacy when you say like, but it comes at you with this like condescension where they're like, well, you won't say they because it's politically correct.
And because you're a sheep and you're afraid.
Right.
It can't be wrong and you disagree with me.
Yes.
There's no concept of that.
Right. And he doesn't want to have that conversation. It seemed like Tim Pool wanted to say like, hey, let's like maybe have a dialogue. I think you don't need
and
to have these dialogues.
He said like,
but
I think it's unfair how you've been treated.
Yeah.
Like he set Kanye up that way.
Yeah.
And
is not a given. We have no idea of what these sort of business dealings that he feels wronged in. We don't know about them. They're not in lawsuits where it's necessary that he was wronged even. But let's take that as a given. Tim Pool is saying, okay, you were wronged or you felt wronged.
Okay.
Let's break it down and the individuals that caused that.
Nope.
It's the Jews.
Nope.
And I don't see how it breaks unless he has a moment. Like, Kanye needs to have a moment, and he's not going to have it around Nick Fuentes, he's not going to have it around Milo Yiannopoulos. I often think he needs to have it around someone he loves and trusts, and when his mother died, it was such a transformational moment for Kanye because that was a person he would listen to and lean on. He always looked to
and
your
now
mom.
And now we've seen that, and then it was sort of Kim, and now that that's over, it's been just a quick spiral since that.
And it was not Chris. Chris, his mother-in-law, you would think he looked up to he does look up to her as a business person and what she's created in terms of an empire, but he doesn't seem to like her. He says some pretty sharp, nasty things, so it's not like she can give him some wisdom. Trump said, and he's a pile of problems unto himself, but said he wanted to give him some advice.
Problems.
He won't listen to Trump. He got into a fight at that dinner. I mean, this is a guy who won't listen to anyone.
Again, like I said, one of his famous songs is, can't tell me nothing. And it's true. And it's going to get even worse for him because now, even like Tim Pool, like these other podcasts, any platform that, would think, well, Kanye's a good guest to have, it'll get clicks, whatever, still kind of using him. Now if you invite Kanye, you're bringing this other group along with him.
he's got a plus two with him.
People don't want to deal with that. So he will get fewer opportunities to speak his mind.
That's right.
He can scream on Twitter into the void if he wants now, but...
But if you were to have a podcast and we said, Kanye, we'd like to invite you, but we don't really want Nick and Milo, he'd be like, of course you don't. He would say, like, you're trying to silence them too.
It.
You're part of the cabal. You prove my point. So it's an impenetrable force field around dialogue and conversation because he doesn't really want to have
it. And again, he's just going to walk out as soon as you I can't even really call this pushback exactly. It's just, maybe not all Jews are out to get you, Kanye. Nope, I'm walking out.
Yeah, and so look, it's not a very hopeful note. I don't think we're getting out of this anytime soon.
No.
But we'll wrap it up there. It's not, you know, look, you know, I think the Will Smith conversation ends on a hopeful note. If you're not absolutely cynical, he's trying to turn the page and address these things in a way that is self-reflective.
Sure.
And Kanye's inability to be reflective in any capacity and just surrounding himself with more people with wrong-headed views is really limiting our ability to move on from this at all.
Yeah.
So we'll leave it at that. See you next time.